now begins a free fall. Next, cause the buttons to it. Everyone is staring at me with their big brown eyes.
This is Vanessa on 90.1 with Concert Billboard for the New Year's concert listings for the month of January. On Thursday, January the 9th, James Thunderbird Davis at Manny's Car Wash. For Friday, January the 10th, Dick Fox's Royalty of Rock at Madison Square Garden. Ned's Atomic Dustbin at the Academy. And Brian's team's Bobby Radcliffe at Manny's Car Wash. Friday, January the 17th, Marky Mark at the Ritz. Saturday, January the 18th, Richard Elliott at the Beacon Theater. Overkill and Biohazard and Helmet and Obituary will be playing at the Ritz. For Thursday, January the 23rd, Jimmy Rogers at Manny's Car Wash. For Saturday, January the 25th, Angela Bofill at the Beacon Theater. And Super Bowl of Hard Code 4 featuring Agnostic Front will be at the Ritz. And for Monday, January the 27th, Rod Stewart will be at Madison Square Garden. For the latest concert listings, you can hear Concert Billboard four times a day. On weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m. And on weekends at 12 noon and 12 midnight. If you have any questions about upcoming concerts, give USB a call. Our number is 516-632-6901. Once again, this is the New Year's concert listing for the month of January. This is Vanessa signing out on WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. Oh, if you only knew what was going on inside my head right now, you'd know how disorienting hearing my voice coming back and forth over and over again is. Bill turned the echo on, and he left the echo on. And if he's left the building, that means we're going to be an echo for the rest of until he comes back, I guess. I don't know. The program is brain damage, and my brain is suitably damaged. I don't know how other people's brains are at the moment, but put it to you straight, I am sick as a dog. I shouldn't even be here right now, but I figured, you know, I'm into new and different experiences. Why not try doing a show when you're at your deathbed? And I'll tell you, it's quite an interesting experience. The program is brain damage. Will be, hold on. Originally, I came prepared. I've got cough drops with me. But I only have three left. So I've got a problem here. Three have to last for the next 2 hours. Ah, that's much better. Our telephone number is, well, gosh, I don't have to give it out. All the lines are lit already. How about that? Well, I'll give it out anyway, just to spite people. That is 632. I'm reading the phone here. 632-6901. And if you want a picture of what I'm doing, I'm holding my head tightly so it doesn't explode. Well, anyway. Oh, the echo went away. Great. I don't know why it went away. It just went away on its own accord. That's wonderful. I've never had a hangover in my life, you know? But this must be what one feels like. I mean, I know what it's like to have your head almost explode, but well, pleasant is definitely not the word. 632-6901, we'll be taking phone calls in just a minute, but first, a special feature. Actually, we also have, that's the other thing about being sick, you lose things. I just took out a record and I lost it already, and here it is. You're going to have to bear with me tonight, folks. This is one of those off occasions where I might sound just a bit disoriented. Yes. Clash fans, I'm still going through this triple CD that they just put out with a total of God knows how many songs. But I had the good fortune of actually looking at a real copy of it. You see, the copy they sent us only has the song titles on the actual physical CD. They don't have anything written around it except the Clash on Broadway and all the things on the back they'll do to you if you violate the copyright. But nothing else, no details. So I was at a friend's house who had this CD, and it was three CDs, actually, and there's more details, things like extended version, edited version, and I even found that there was an extra song on one of these that wasn't listed anywhere. It's a song that's off Sandinista, so it's no big deal, but they forgot to list it. Anyway, what I want to do now, just to get my head together, and I'm sure there's those of you out there that know what it's like when your head is about to explode, the only thing to put it back together is to Clash at about 20 on the headsets. We're going to hear the... Of course, I just put it in the CD player, so I don't even know now. I have to take it out. It's a demo version. I believe the one I picked was Career Opportunities. That's the one I picked. We're going to hear that, then we're going to take some phone calls. Area code 516-632-6901. Area code, 516. I said that. Here's the Clash. Yeah, Career Opportunities, the demo version. I guess that's the version that they gave to Epic. And Epic said, yeah, that's good. And you can do an album for us. And we all know what happened after that. That's right.
What happened?
Well, they went on to record lots of albums.
Oh.
Including, you know, this band is out of control. Well, of course, they broke up, which helped matters, I guess, for the people that didn't like their records. But they started with a single record, then they... After that, they came out with London Calling, which is a double record. Then they came out with an EP that was the size of an LP. Then they came out with a triple record. And after that, they just had to be forcibly stopped. And now, here they are coming back with a triple CD. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Maybe this is signs that they will be getting back together.
Yeah. Bill, I understand you know something about cough drops.
Well, all I know is this particular brand that I have here, which
You've
is...
You've got cough drops?
Yeah.
Bill, I've always liked you.
Well, these, I don't know...
What are those?
They're called Fisherman's Friend.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Well, let's see what you think.
Well, is it okay to mix cough drops? Because I got one in my mouth.
Oh, you got one now? I don't know. It might be really intense.
These got halls in my mouth.
These are like having about 10 halls in your mouth.
Okay, well, what I'll do is...
This is not a commercial endorsement.
Fortunately, I've got the wrapper from... You know the one that says discard when finished? Well, I didn't discard it yet. It's right here, so I'm going to unwrap it. I'm going to put my cough drop back in the wrapper.
better hold on to it, because...
I sure hope I don't forget this.
Yeah.
It really grosses out the person that comes in after me. Now, this thing, if I may describe it to the folks, is like a sort of... an oval-shaped tablet. It looks kind of like an egg.
It says here...
Very small egg.
Active ingredient, menthol.
This isn't going to get me addicted to cigarettes or something, is it?
I don't know. It says something about overdosing.
Well,
if you're pregnant and nursing, seek the advice of a professional. I don't know. It's just... it's from... they're from England. Lancashire.
Oh, they're from England. You know, this is burning my tongue.
Well, you just got off the Halls thing, so it's kind of like a combo thing.
Wow. So this is what you use, huh?
Yeah, yeah. The first one is usually the worst one, and then it's downhill.
Well, I can feel my sinuses now. I feel pathways. You know the pathways?
Yeah.
Go all the way down your throat to whatever is down there and up through your head again. And wow, like, I feel all these little passageways being plowed.
Yeah, if you do like one of these, like...
A snowstorm or something.
It really, it's great.
It does feel good.
I have to have one.
Whew.
Steady.
Of course, I have to point out the fact that I'm still coughing. What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
I mean, my head feels as clear as a glass, but
but
I'm still coughing. And these are... Let me see this app.
Yeah, check it out. They used to come a little story.
Why do they call Fisherman's Friend? What does that have to do with fishing?
Well, it's a good segue there, because the story used to talk about that the fishermen used to suck on them and used to clear their head or whatever from being out on the water for so many... months or weeks or whatever.
I'll bet. I hate these things. A persistent cough may be a sign of a serious condition. I only had the cough for about 12 hours, okay? Thank you very much. Getting me all scared here. If cough persists for more than 1 week, tends to recur, or is accompanied by fever, rash, or persistent headache, consult a doctor. Oh, of course, you ripped off half of the thing here, so I'm interpreting what the word is. I think it's doctor. Do not take this product for persistent or a chronic cough, such as occurs with smoking, asthma, emphysema, or if... cough is accompanied by excessive... Don't you love the way phlegm is spelled? P-H-L-E-G-M. Now, whose idea was it to put a G in there? Why do they want a G to be in the word phlegm? And in parentheses, they put mucus, in case you don't know what phlegm is. Unless directed by a doctor. You can do anything if you're directed by a doctor.
Yeah. Well, phlegm is a British word for pastry.
British word, huh? As with any drug, if... drugs here. As with any drug, if you are pregnant or nursing a baby, seek the advice of a health professional before using this product. You mean I can't have these cough drops if I'm nursing? I mean, I'm not going to be nursing a baby, obviously, but if I were a mother nursing a baby or was about to give birth or something, I couldn't have a cough drop? And you can just buy these in the store? Yeah, I see.
Yeah,
I just made a popular drugstore here.
Not even... Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's where I got them.
Yeah, that's where you got them, and over the counter.
But they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Everywhere. That's really something.
Including your 24-hour convenience store.
Keep this and all drugs out of the reach of children. In case of accidental overdose, seek professional assistance or contact the Poison Control Center immediately. Wait a minute. Overdose? How do you overdose on these things?
Poison? I don't know.
Okay, wait. Directions for use. Adults and children 2 to under 12 years of age. No. Children under 2 years of age. Wait a minute. I don't understand this. How could there be adults under 12 years of age? It says adults and children 2 to under 12 years of age.
That doesn't make any sense, no.
That's grammatically wrong.
I discovered that once, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, adults are usually older than 12 years. But anyway, let's assume it means adults. Back of my throat is really feeling weird now.
because you
don't usually know it's there, but I feel it now. I feel the back of my throat.
Really?
I don't like feeling the back of my throat.
See, it's the Halls is a mixture. You're mixing.
Okay. You're blaming all this on the Halls. I don't know if that's fair.
Well,
these things are going to do to me.
Well, you know what? It's good about
like these. Buying aspirin or something. I thought it was like a cough drop.
It is like a cough drop, though.
Yeah, but you can't overdose on
Halls, yeah.
Halls or Pine Brothers or you know.
Scrape
other ones.
The roof of your mouth or something.
Yeah. So, wait, I'm supposed to take, let's say, maybe repeat it every hour as needed. So I'm only supposed to take one of these.
I suppose.
I'm supposed to allow it to dissolve slowly in my mouth. If I crunch it, I suppose I'm going to die right away.
I don't know. Ooh, I never did that.
Okay, maybe repeat it every hour as needed. So at about 1 o'clock or so, somebody call and remind me to take another one, I guess, unless I'm cured.
I'll leave a handful.
Yeah.
But these are, what the heck was I going to say? I don't know, I forget. I forget what I was going to say. So you can talk.
Okay, well, that's a cue. Well, I don't even know what I'm going to say. I'm the one that's sick.
I was going to say
my head is all weird, you know?
They're not in like a sugar base.
Stumbling into things. I'm sorry, I'm talking over people, too.
No, I was doing it.
Oh.
I haven't been... well, never mind.
What?
It's like they're not in a sugar base. You know, like the Halls is like having a piece of candy, right? It's like a sugar base. And this stuff, kind of just evaporates into your head. It's like it's a religious experience. It's very intense.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine.
You still have that dead record room?
Does two at a time.
Speaking of the dead, I mean, I should have had these when we were here at the station on New Year's Eve.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was pretty spacey, I'll say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
something
I
about
in
the
a little
dead.
Bit.
Something about the dead, and when you have cough drops,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's it's something else.
Wow.
I can't describe it. It's just an experience and a half.
Mm-hmm. A lot of dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I tuned in a bit, and I heard like...
Uh-oh, it's caught in the side of my mouth now.
Uh-oh.
It's like lodged between my tooth and my cheek there.
Oh, that's the part I forgot to tell you.
It's never so get small it. That you can't get it out. Ah, I got it.
Excellent. I heard them tuning out.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people are tuning out right now.
No, I mean, I heard the dead tuning up.
Oh.
When I tuned in, they were tuning up, and I tuned out.
Uh-huh.
Just as quickly.
You know, I don't get sick very often, like maybe once every few years, and this is about the extent of it. It usually lasts about one day,
mm-hmm.
and I try to make the most out of it.
So what's ailing you?
I don't know. Well, it all started last night when I was in the city. I just started coughing, you know, and I could feel a cough coming on. You know that feeling you get behind your eyes sometimes, kind of like a pain, especially if you mm-hmm. roll your eyes and like hit your head really hard against the side? You can feel the pain?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what I got. I got that kind of feeling. And I knew that meant I was in for, you know, a slight fever and a bit of a headache and maybe even a sore throat. But that probably won't come until tomorrow.
Right.
So, you know, I'll just have to sit this
thing
through.
So it's not a flu thing, then?
Well, you see, I don't know, because a lot of people I know have the flu. But
right.
I don't think I've ever gotten the flu in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe I'm immune from the flu. I know I'm immune from poison ivy.
Really?
I know, because I fell down on it once. And somebody said, hey, you just fell down in poison ivy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get it, so I think that means I'm immune.
And you only did it once? Did you ever test this immunity?
Well, before? I thought I was immune before because I had walked through patches where people said that's poison ivy, and I never got it. But that one time, I really fell down in it, and you know, that was the proof. I said, okay, well, now I know that I've been exposed to it, and I'll see what happens.
Incredible.
Yeah, you know, fun with health. But I've got a weird way of looking at things because I really don't like taking aspirins, or Tylenols, or Advils, or whatever people pop every time they feel a slight pain.
Yeah.
I feel if I've got a fever, there's a reason for it, and it's got to go away on its own accord.
Right.
And, you know, there's certain bad side effects, like me talking about it on the air for half an hour. But that's just, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, no, I can understand that, sure. It's just like, we're in the pill, everything's a pill.
Yeah, everything's a pill, because you still have, let me tell you, folks, you still have the fever. When you you take a Tylenol or something, you feel better, but you're still sick. You just don't know it. And you're sick for a reason because your body is trying to tell you something, that there's something going on in there. And, you know, if you don't do the things you're supposed to do to get better, like, you know, drink orange juice and get some rest and, you know, not, do the things that you usually do,
mm-hmm.
you'll probably get worse. And then you'll have to take more Tylenols or whatever.
Yeah.
And everybody will profit off you.
Plus, you know, I've taken cold pills before and they have never, ever done anything for me.
Uh-huh.
I don't get it.
Uh-huh.
I spent a lot of money, too.
People that take those kind of things seem to take them a lot more often than people that don't. I guess that's a really stupid thing to say, but I think you know what I mean. It's
Well, I usually don't. I'm the last, like, for me to be taking stuff, I got to be really sick. And the last time, I guess I had the flu or whatever it was, and I just absolutely could not breathe out of my nose no matter what I did.
Uh-huh.
So I said, that's it, I'm buying cold pills, and I still could not breathe out of my nose no matter what I did. So.
Uh-huh. That's a real shame. But, I think... Well, you know, this thing is still dissolving in my mouth, but it's a weird feeling. Can I finish my Halls after this goes away?
That's up to you.
Well, I don't know. What does it say?
It doesn't mention Halls here.
Is there a hotline I can call to?
No. no hotline.
I don't want to do the wrong thing here. You want to hear what the... This requires spacey music. Oh, that's good. That's beautiful. Thank you, Mr. Space Music Player.
You're welcome.
The other room.
Okay.
Now, did you see this in the paper? The other day, an interview with the new county executive, Robert Gaffney. have you been following the election? Well, Robert Gaffney replaced Patrick Halpin.
Mm. That much I know.
Yes, so now he's the one that we are supposed to blame for everything.
Right. Well, what I noticed is that Halpin shaved his mustache.
Yeah, he did.
Sort and I guess it goes out with the office.
Well, that's...
He left his mustache in the office.
That's an Italian expression of death.
Really?
And, yeah, Paul McCartney told us that, of course. And did you catch the Carnation in the walking out of step when he left the county executive? You didn't see that.
No, I missed that one. CNN didn't.
No, you got to watch News 12 for that kind of thing. CNN
oh, that's right.
Care
News
about
12,
local
News
politics.
12.
Anyway, this is a fascinating interview. This really gets you to know the man behind the name,
mm-hmm.
or the man under the name, or whatever the phrase is. Now, these are hard-hitting queries from Newsday. This was published in Monday's paper. All right, here we go. And folks, those of you with sensitive mindsets may wish to, you know, turn on K-Rock or something for a few minutes because, you know, this is going to be hard-hitting, uncensored.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Okay.
Well, you just groove to the music.
Well, you can sort of groove to the music. Okay, hard-hitting question number one. What do you usually have for breakfast?
Scathing.
Well, what do you hear the reply? Very often, I don't eat breakfast.
You've got to be kidding me.
And we've just elected a guy in the most powerful position in the county, and he doesn't even eat breakfast half the time.
Very often. That's more than half.
What do you think? What's that guy's name? You know, the grandpa person on TV, Wilford Brimley or whatever?
Yeah.
What do you think he would say if Robert Gaffney said that to him? He'd smack him upside the head.
And say, it's the wrong thing to do.
Not the right thing to do. You sit down and you have your, what does he sell? I don't even know what he sells. Some consumer I am. I don't even know what he's been driving into my head. Yeah.
Some kind of oatmeal.
Some kind of oatmeal? There's so many kinds of oatmeal. I thought it was oat bran or wheat bran or raisin bran or...
He turns me off, or I turn him off, actually.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. But that's quite a shocking revelation.
He's very grouchy.
Well, he would be after
the right thing to do. I'm like, why doesn't he cheer up a little?
We should do a conference call with them, Gaffney and Wilford Brimley, whatever. I thought he'd be a good actor, you know, when he was in The China Syndrome and when he was in Absence of Malice.
Mm-hmm.
And he even had a TV show once for a little while.
That's right.
And now look at him. He's just doing breakfast commercials.
But it was the same character as the TV show, right? I think.
Was it the same character?
Now he's doing like the same, grandpa-type character or whatever.
I even forget what the TV show was called.
Yeah, I don't know what it was called either.
Goes to show how I saw the worst show on TV today. When you're sick, you kind of, you know, lie around in front of the TV set, and
mm-hmm.
you don't even have the strength to change it, so you're kind of held captive.
Right.
And I had the unfortunate experience to put it on Channel 4, and the show called Sisters came on. And my God, this is the worst piece of garbage I've ever seen. It's a soap opera, and, you know, everybody is for one thing, there's only like a group of about six people, and yet they're all intertwined in their lives so much. Like, you know, one person is taking the photo of the couple with whom he's having an affair with one of them, and also the other one is having an affair with the number five, and it's just, the whole thing is out of control.
Frightening.
I don't know who wrote this, but you can predict. You can turn the sound off, and you can predict what the next line is going to be.
Yeah, I hate that.
That's I kind of like that, actually, but
I'm
sure that's not what they intended for it to be like.
We just started out with Gaffney.
Yeah, I sort of
feel like Rosanna.
Feel free to just sort of pull me back onto the road here because, you know.
Did you see Ren and Stimpy yet?
See what?
Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy?
It's a cartoon.
No.
It's on MTV and Nickelodeon.
But I don't get cable, you see, that's the problem.
Aha!
I see Itchy and Scratchy all the time.
Yes, great stuff.
That's quality.
Great stuff.
Have you seen JFK?
No,
that's a film. Now, all you people waiting out there on the phone patiently, I respect you very much, and we will be getting to you. But while you're sitting there, if you have a pen and pencil ready, write down that you should see JFK. It's a great film. It's an amazing film. It'll make you think. And forget about whether you believe it or not. It's done well. And that's,
right.
You know, the paper shouldn't be saying, oh, it's not believable. Full of lies. I mean, that's not their job to tell us.
It's one person's interpretation of what the heck is going on. See, a lot of people realize that. It's the author is trying to tell you something with a movie and a story.
That's right, exactly.
And
but
people don't get that.
What a lot of people also don't realize is that this Garrison character really existed. He really did put the whole thing on trial. Why don't we know this? Why wasn't it ever really explained to us that there was this big thing, you know, and a lot of questions were asked, and there were a lot of unresolved issues, a lot. So many that you walk out of there convinced that that's something, you know, you want answers. You want to find out.
I mean, I do want to find out.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Executive Action?
That sounds familiar.
It was like from the, I don't know, 70s, mid-70s or whatever. And it was like the same type of JFK thing. And according to Mort, who worked here at USP, that movie is completely, like, vanished. No one can find it anywhere. And
I
saw it in the movie theater.
I can find it. I'll track it down somehow. What's it called again?
Executive Action.
Executive Action.
And it was about, like, some sort of a CIA plot to kill.
Did you ever see a film called Special Bulletin?
No.
That's a good film. It's about a nuclear explosion in Charleston, South Carolina.
Really?
Yeah, it's done in the form of a real-time newscast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very believable, extremely believable.
Did you see The Day After?
Yeah, I didn't like that too much.
I know, I thought it was kind of corny.
If you want Nuclear Holocaust, much better film is Testament.
Testament.
1,000 times better. Definitely
check
see
it
that
out.
Instead.
Is it in, will it be in your local video still?
You know, looks like the side of my lip is coming off. Is that a side effect of this? I'm very aware of it right now.
Well, yeah, your face melts.
Wow.
Could be the music.
Well, thanks for the experience. That's the important thing.
Now, was it enjoyable or not? Be honest.
Well, it's gone now, and I don't, you know, there's nothing more I can do about
one
it.
One another?
Well, I'm not supposed to have another at 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm going to be good about this. Now, what was I saying? I've sort of lost track. Oh, yeah, you know what I heard yesterday on the radio for the very first time in my life?
No.
Give me a guess. Very first time in my life, something I thought I would never hear.
I don't know, George Bush going to the bathroom, I have no idea.
No. A real EBS. Emergency
really?
Broadcasting System. You know that thing where they always say,
yeah.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this, am I supposed to say that? I'm not, apparently not even supposed to say that. The FCC might not like that, but...
as long as you don't give the tone, I think.
I was listening to one of the news stations, and all of a sudden they say, we interrupt this program for an activation of the emergency broadcast system. This is not a test.
You've heard, yeah, it was the first time, huh?
And I was on the parkway at the time, and you see like about four cars swerve. And then they play that damn tone for 25 seconds without telling you what's going to happen. What is the point of playing a tone for 25 seconds without telling you why they're doing it? They've already said, this is not a test.
And then the tone?
Then the tone for 25 seconds.
Oh, great.
And then finally...
That could be a crucial 25 seconds.
Finally, after the tone was finished, they say, this is not a test, twice more. And then they said that there's going to be like a storm or something.
Yeah. Well, I heard that they did during the Bob experience.
Yeah, well, they were supposed to. WCBS was supposed to, and they didn't.
Mm.
And a lot of people in Long Island were kind of upset by
that. We got them here.
Yeah.
I thought we did, anyway.
Well, I don't know. They might have done it late or something like that.
Yeah. It was like... what the heck time was it? I don't know. 6 o'clock p.m.
But irregardless, what they did was they made everybody panic for this storm, which never really happened. You know?
Yeah, I know.
I was driving home last night. I decided to take the Ocean Parkway. You know what the Ocean Parkway is? It's that one all the way down by Jones Beach.
Right.
And I figured, you know, there'd be waves cascading onto the road. I'm kind of, you know, crazy sometimes. And I was driving along looking at the waves, and the waves really were amazing.
Yeah.
It was around dawn time, and nothing but white caps everywhere you could see. But no flooding.
Really?
No flooding at all. And no real storm really hit us, which disappoints me. As people out there know, I love inclement weather. I love severe weather. Disasters.
I do, but I'm torn, though. It's not good to love them because of the misfortune of everybody else, but it's exciting. I dig it.
Uh-huh.
I thoroughly dig it.
Well, that's... if only it was about... 50, what's that?
This is Rocketeer Candy.
Rocketeer Candy?
Rocketeer.
Rocketeer, like the movie.
Uh-huh. Well, this looks like a little man with a helmet.
That would be...
the Rocketeer?
How are you supposed to... How do you get this out?
Boy, everyone's giving him things to suck on.
You know, this looks like... His head looks like it screws off. Is that right?
It could be. All right.
Well, I don't want to break it.
That's quite right.
Well, his head is becoming... Turning around in circles.
The Rocketeer Exorcist.
Yeah, it's like the Exorcist scene here. All these new inventions that, you know, I'm not even aware of.
But is it filled with fishermen's friends?
Well, it's turning around and around, but I don't think it's going anywhere. Maybe I'm not supposed to pull at the same time. Yeah, Bill, you try. You're more sane than me.
What if I break it?
Well, no.
I'm sorry.
He did something.
I took his legs off.
You took it off from the bottom.
Yes, I did.
And what's in there?
Candy with little... I don't know. Take a look at it.
Well, I don't know if I should be having this.
Does that look like a little skull or something?
More little pills. Well, now, wait, you got this at a reputable store. It's even got a barcode. How they fit the barcode.
I got it at a reputable 7-Eleven, actually.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, they're kind of like sweet tarts, but they're not.
Yeah. I have a feeling they taste like
all right, I'll have this in the condition everybody else has one at the same time. That way, if we're all found dead here, we'll know what caused it. It'll save the,
Does anybody want to, like, write a note?
Pick any color
you
like.
We're on the radio, for God's sake. We don't need to write a note.
Yeah, well,
they know what we're doing.
They won't get in the building. Well, not that they need to.
Not that they want to.
We all have to consume it once.
You know, they turn all the heat off. That doesn't help me very much. They turn all the heat off in this building. Here I am with a blistering fever and... Well, anyway, I think we're ready for number two. Oh, we have to have this pill here. You're not supposed to crunch these things.
Tastes like a sweet tart.
Mm-hmm. I can't taste a thing. Except the residue of your fisherman's friend.
Want a friend?
We're ready for the second hard-hitting question to the new county executive, Robert Gaffney. Here we go. What's your favorite kind of bagel?
Oh, man.
And he said, without him.
Wait, let me guess.
Oh, okay.
Sesame.
Yeah, right. Hey, how'd you know that?
I don't know. I just, because it's my favorite.
All right,
kind of
sesame
bagel.
It is. Now, they don't let up. They do not let up.
This is good.
Do you eat it with cream cheese or butter?
Cream cheese.
Butter.
One for two.
What kind of car do you drive?
A Buick.
An Oldsmobile station wagon.
Well, that's close. An Oldsmobile station wagon.
Do you listen
Look, there goes the county executive.
This is the one that's really going to hurt. Do you listen to the radio on the way to the office?
No.
Yes.
What station?
You got it. Hey, you'd be a good reporter. What radio station do you listen to?
Oh, man. This is going to hurt, huh?
This is going to hurt. I think you know what he's not going to say.
I wish I knew a little... Yeah, right. That I know.
Your county executive, folks, is not hip.
I wish I knew a little background about the Gaffster. I would say WALK.
Like everybody else in the damn island. And WCBS. Those two stations.
Oh, yeah?
The one that...
Yeah, but A-OK.
Storm alert.
What is this? He doesn't eat breakfast, and he listens to zombie radio. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's,
How come we didn't know all this before the election?
I don't know why these questions were suppressed. I really don't. And, by the way, we should thank Jim Pazingera for asking these questions.
Thank you, Jim.
In Newsday. Continuing on, what's the one thing you will be sure to hang in your office?
His secretary.
I could have thought of a good answer for that one, but... now, he said, probably my certificate of admission to the bar or my bachelor's or law degree from Fordham. I guess he's only allowed one thing up on the wall.
Wow. Must be a small office.
So he's got to choose. Do you keep any toys on your desk to fidget with?
Toys.
Do you see what they're getting at here?
I don't know what they're getting
to his inner mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good.
The inner mind of the county executive.
I would say that he said no.
He did say no, very curtly. No.
Now.
No, absolutely not. Well, he didn't say that, but I imagine it was...
Well, this way, you know, the tax... That's a predictable answer, though, because the taxpayers' dollars, you know, we're paying this guy's salary, and he's playing with a little four-wheel drive truck on his desk. I mean, give me a break.
Well, they keep going. Do you ever take your shoes off?
In the office?
No, there's more. Under the desk. Excuse me. That's not a cold cough. That's a, not being able to contain my
combo.
Any longer cough.
Combo cough. I'm not even going to justify that with an answer.
No.
Doesn't take his shoes off.
I would have asked why not, but they didn't do that.
Mm.
Anyway, do you drink coffee or tea?
I would say he drinks coffee.
Tea. See, he's surprised. He's full of surprises. Yeah. I could go for a good hot cup of tea right now. You know? Nice hot cup of... Well, never mind that. Why don't we have... We have a coffee maker inside. We don't have a tea maker.
Why don't you just run hot water through it?
That's racist, if you ask me. But I don't think we should air
racist?
Dirty laundry. Yeah. Don't you think so?
Why would it be racist?
Well, you know... It's racist against tea drinkers. I won't get into it now.
I think that's...
You don't need to get that dragged through the courts.
It has to do with race.
Well, it does.
It has to do with preference. It's preferencist.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right. What kind of tea?
Kind of tea. Sweet touch neat.
Regular tea. And then he said Lipton.
Lipton.
In case you had any doubt as to what regular tea was. How much tea do you drink in a typical day? Remember the Ruddles? Ruddles take tea?
Yes.
It's the same exact thing. Over and over again.
2 cups.
That's very good. A cup in the morning, one during the day. I don't know. I guess the morning isn't considered a day to him. How do you take your tea?
Milk and sugar.
That's very good.
Milk and sugar.
Have you read this before?
No.
You seem to have an awful lot of insight into the county executive here.
But I'm getting a lot wrong, too.
With your hand.
I just stick my head in the pot and lap it up.
You take your tea. Right. I bring my mouth to the cup and slurp away.
All right, now we get into... I hope that the people turn to K-Rock and come back by now. You should go back over there. In fact, maybe you want to go to one of the light stations because this is really going to get...
Getting deeper.
It's going to get,
Hard-hitting.
Yeah, hard-hitting is the word. What do you usually eat for lunch? Now, I'd refuse to answer that question. I would.
I would, too.
If people know what you eat for lunch, they know an awful lot
about you. A lot about you, definitely.
And it's like giving out your social security number freely. You know? That's who you are. That's your identification.
Yeah.
You can't change that. You know? But he is...
Unless you're bound by time, but I highly doubt that the county executive is bound by time.
I don't think so. Anyway.
I would say he has a salad.
Nothing you hear about a salad.
No.
Nothing you hear about a salad. A sandwich, ham and cheese, roast beef...
Ham.
Ham and cheese, roast beef, turkey, At home, maybe a peanut butter sandwich. Now, what does that tell you?
Peanut butter sandwich?
At home, he has a peanut butter sandwich, but when he's in the office, he takes out on ham and cheese, roast beef, and I don't know if it's all together,
right.
But it might be. But in any event, it's meat. But at home, do you think his wife thinks he's a vegetarian? And he's
maybe
covering
his wife thinks he's Charlie Brown.
That's true, too.
Charlie Brown just ate peanut butter sandwiches.
I mean, I think we should make sure that he's out as much as possible, because if all he has to eat is peanut butter sandwiches at home, that's, you know.
Plus, maybe he's not making up his own mind at home.
Yeah, maybe he's eating what's given to him.
But still, that's not a good diet. You know, unless he, what does he order from the deli, maybe when he's in the office or something? And he's brown bagging it, or what? What does he mean he's eating?
I would say, yeah, he probably is ordering from the deli, because, I mean, if he can only make a peanut butter sandwich at home, how in the world is he going to make a ham and cheese, roast beef, or turkey before he goes to the office?
With his shoes on.
It does look like his wife, Joanne, is going to be very interested in you know, making sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like she's got a career on her mind.
Sure.
There's a picture of them here sitting at their kitchen table, both with cups of no doubt tea in their hands. Matching cups, I might add. And there's a refrigerator with all kinds of notes on it. Ah. Okay. What's your favorite snack food?
Ritz crackers.
No. M&M's.
M&M's?
M&M's.
Is that after the ham?
I guess so. We need to know who his dentist is after that. What's your favorite soda? This one I'm going to give to you, Bill.
Pepsi.
You're right.
It's the choice of a new generation.
But he also said Coke.
Really? Coke and Pepsi.
Now, that's something troubling, because a county executive that cannot make up his mind over a clear-cut issue like Coke or Pepsi is not going to be able to make up his mind over things like, you know, budgetary decisions,
yeah.
You know, environmental issues.
But maybe he's just trying to be...
he's trying to please everybody.
Neutral, yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to please everybody. He just can't do that.
Yeah, you can't
do that. A county executive with no enemies has no friends. Okay. And he made a very big mistake with that answer there, because he has to have an enemy at either Coke or Pepsi.
Yep.
Or both. He could say, you know, they all suck. That's what I'd say.
Well, I see.
I'd say RC. How's that?
RC.
That'll hit him for a
loop. Still around?
That would make the New York Times if he said RC was his favorite cola. Oh yes, it would.
Yeah, then they would call him like liberal and crazy.
They'd do all kinds of FBI checks on him.
Do you drink Pepsi or Coke?
Well, you see, I'm not fool enough to reveal that over the air, because, you know, a radio
person... But you do
person,
choose one or the other. You don't...
I don't drink both. Well, actually...
It doesn't matter.
All right. We're being honest here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What year do you think 7-Eleven first came out with the Big Gulps?
What year?
Yeah.
I don't know. 1981?
Yeah, something like that. Back in the early 80s. Well, I'd never seen anything like that before, where you had a choice, where you could pick it yourself. You could do whatever you want. Right.
Right.
So, you know, I was younger then. I was just kind of, you know, experimenting. And I thought, you know, what would happen if I mixed Coke and Pepsi together?
What happened?
Well, I found out that they have a cop that hangs out behind the Big Gulp machine.
Pepsi police.
I got off easy.
Coke cop.
No, I got off easy, because you're not supposed to do that. That's mixing chemicals that should not be mixed. I never got to taste it. Never even got to taste it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. In fact, I never went back to that 7-Eleven, because it was such a traumatic experience for me. I could have gotten a good deal of time for that.
I wonder if any of the listeners have tried that.
Well, I'd like to warn them, in case some people are just getting to the age where they do get their first Big Gulp. You know, stick to one. Don't mix them up. Don't mix them.
I have never gotten a Big Gulp, I think.
That's good. Not even a little gulp?
Seems like so much.
See, the little ones, I don't know what they're called, but they're not Big Gulps. I mean, they have these disgusting ones now. They have super big gulps,
yeah.
Double gulps, quadruple gulps, but there's one that's smaller. There used to be two that were smaller, but now there's only one that's smaller. I don't know what they call that. It's just a cup.
I don't know. I don't really go for that kind of thing.
I'll tell you something else about those big gulps. Do you know, once my car ran out of water somehow,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, hey, I'm right next to a 7-Eleven. It'd be a good idea to fill this cup with water, you know, to get a cup and fill it with water. Well, they wanted to charge me the price for a big gulp for taking the cup. And they said, the reason we do that is because we're paying for the cup.
Yeah, you're not paying for
the big
drink.
Gulp.
Right.
So, with that logic in mind, I should save my Big Gulp cup and just keep coming back and refilling it every day. Would they have any objections to that, I wonder?
Oh, I'm sure they would.
I'm sure they would, too. You just can't win.
No, you can't win. Unless you eat at the local fast food restaurant where they have the auto-fill-up thing, you can refill your cup.
Yeah. Listen, let's take some phone calls.
Sure.
Because people here are going to get angry, because they've been on the phone now for about 40 minutes, and we've been babbling about...
I wanted to make an appeal to the listeners. Will someone please put their phone in the freezer? And let's hear them, you know.
While they talk?
The blowing thing. No, I don't think so.
Oh.
What about the microwave? I guess that would be kind of detrimental
to the
electronics.
Yeah.
It would probably go or something.
Well, folks, if you're mad at your parents or something, no, don't do that.
Nah, don't do it. What about a wireless phone in the microwave?
You know, I've never done anything bad in a microwave. To a microwave, that is. Like, you know, put
well,
the cat in or, you know, anything like that. I've never experimented. I've never gotten sparks. Mm. Always done, I mean, the most I've done is completely messed up the food and you know, like popcorn. I can't do that for anything.
Really? You have to watch it very carefully.
Well, actually, a friend of mine figured out the secret to popcorn.
You have to count the seconds in between the pops.
Elevation.
What?
Elevation.
Take it off the floor?
Yeah. You put it on top of like
a
bowl or something.
I have a
doesn't matter if you have
turntable.
Not one of the turntable ones. It's got to be elevated.
Really?
Yeah.
Very good.
It's a secret. All right. Well, we've had enough of the spacey music, and let's see if we can get some spacey callers out there. 632-6901 is our telephone number, and good evening. You're number one. Wait a minute. I don't hear anything. Is anybody there? You know, sometimes they fall asleep. You hear that? That's silence.
Yeah.
They fell asleep. That's very sad. Unless there's something wrong here.
No, that's a live line, right?
I think it is. Yeah, that sounds pretty live. We're going to go to the next call. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Leroy.
Leroy, how you doing, Leroy?
I called in last week and I was talking to Matt.
You were talking to Matt. Well, I wasn't here for that, so I don't even know what transpired.
I heard him.
I was talking to Matt for a while, and I told him I was going to send him a box of peanut brittle.
Uh-huh.
And do you talk to Matt at all?
Well, I talk to him occasionally.
Oh, if you see him, can you tell him that Leroy, I don't have any peanut butter left? I'm really sorry.
Do you have any peanut butter? You could send that to the county executive.
Maybe. That's a good idea.
Uh-huh. Where are you calling from, Leroy?
Centerreach. Yes.
And what did you talk to Matt about?
We just talked about peanut brittle and skateboarders, because...
Are you a skateboarder?
Oh, no. I was still a skateboarder. I was defending them, so I think they're nice keys.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
How old are you, Leroy?
I just turned 52 2 days ago.
You just turned 52 2 days ago, huh?
I think I'm your oldest listener. I'm not sure, though.
Uh-huh.
I think I am.
Don't suppose you remember what year you were born.
Excuse me?
You don't suppose you remember what year you were born.
Oh, I don't know. That was way back.
Yeah. I know what way back means. Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah.
Why'd you waste all the time?
What?
Why'd you waste all the time in the beginning?
Waste all the time in the beginning. Well, you know, I don't know.
That's
right?
Why we're here.
Yeah, that's why we're here. I wasted time, okay?
You could have took a lot of calls.
I could have, but I'm taking them now. I mean, we're not going to complain about them while we're taking them, so...
All right.
This is your 15 seconds of fame. Oh, 15 minutes, I'm sorry. I quoted Warhol wrong. What's on your mind?
Nothing. Hey, Matt, I speak?
Wait, you stay on the phone for 45 minutes to say that nothing's on your mind?
Well, lots of stuff.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay, yeah, no, that's just a standard answer when you say, what's new? People say nothing.
Right.
But, you know, to the rest of the world, that makes us look boring. Looks like we have nothing to say, when actually we have a lot to say. Well, what did you talk about with Matt, since that seems to be the topic?
Matt talked a lot about skateboarding and graffiti and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I like the way he took all the calls better, the way you did it.
Well, in a second I'm going to take a lot more, a lot faster, but... now, are you a skateboarder?
Me?
Yeah, that's just the question I have to ask every week.
Yeah, I am.
You are. Let me ask you something. What's your definition of alternative music?
Alternative?
Yeah.
Open, like anybody's kind of music.
Uh-huh. Like, give me a band that's alternative.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah? Well, what kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to, like, hardcore and, I don't know, thrash punk.
Uh-huh. Do you consider that to be alternative?
In a way.
Uh-huh. I'm sort of taking a survey here just to see what it means.
And I'm good friends with Leroy.
Well, that's good. It's good to know that our callers are good friends with each other. Anything else on your mind?
If Edward calls?
Yeah?
Can you tell him he's a chaff ball?
I'll try to remember that. 632-6901. I forgot it already. Good evening.
Hello there. This is Edward. What happened to calling you a chaff ball?
How is it that all our callers seem to...
know each other?
I think they're all like in the same room or something. Good evening. Yes.
Who?
You fumbling with the phone. Yes, go ahead.
I'm on hold for a little while.
Actually, you weren't on hold. I just want people to think we keep our listeners on hold. The phone was ringing for 45 minutes.
Oh, I'd never on hold. I was holding it.
Oh, you were holding it all that time. You know, you should get a speakerphone.
That's a good idea.
That way you can walk around the house, and when the phone picks up, you can just run over to it and start talking.
Yeah. I had listened to last week's show.
Uh-huh.
And so I heard all the skateboarders and graffiti artists and everything.
Uh-huh.
Did you catch it at all, or were you just like on vacation?
No, I was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, all right.
Signal doesn't travel down there.
Yeah, probably not. Anyway, so my question for... can I ask a few questions, or are we running on time?
No, go right ahead and ask some questions.
Okay. Is communism or socialism dead?
Societies like the socialist elements to England, the socialist elements to I believe still to France, and even Canada's national health program is being called socialist.
Okay.
Some people think we lean in the socialist direction. Of course, I don't really have anything to agree with those people, but no, I don't think socialism is dead, because aspects of that will always keep coming back. But communism as a rule, I just think the word itself has outlived its purpose. So if you say communist, you're gonna, you know, it's gonna be something that people will have a bad taste in their mouths when they hear.
Well, was the Soviet Union and Eastern European countries communistic or Stalinistic socialist?
Well, again, you'd have to define what the difference is.
Okay.
Some people would say, you know, it certainly wasn't very Stalinist towards the end. And some people would say it didn't live up to the communist ideal, that communism was a lot more, you know, communism doesn't deal with totalitarianism. Yet, it seemed that that's the way it always went,
okay,
which makes you wonder.
All right, and if communism or socialism is dead, and does this mean that the United States is all of a sudden going to like do things like drop Social Security and aid families dependent children and all these other programs, especially since like there's a trend now in Michigan and other states to drop everybody from the welfare rolls? You might have heard the news on that.
I've heard rumblings about that, but... you know, something unilateral is going to be awfully hard to pull off. As long as people stay awake, that can't happen. But if people don't stay awake, it'll happen slowly, one step at a time. So you gotta watch out for all the little tiny things that happen and ask yourself at each juncture, is this what we want to do? Is this where we want to go? And, you know, if you answer wrong more than a few times in a row, you're going to have a significantly different society real soon.
Are these programs socialistic in nature or no? Or do they fit into Adam Smith's view of like in public funding and things like that beyond the private arena?
Personally, I don't think it's socialistic. Social Security. I mean, where did that get started? Roosevelt?
Right.
Yeah. I don't think Roosevelt was a socialist. I think he was, you know, a Democrat that understood human needs.
Okay. And then now tying in with the rest of the callers.
Yeah.
Pretty much, my guess, based on Reagan-Bush era and all that, the country has turned pretty far, at least moderately right-wing. I thought that the center now is moderately rightist. Like maybe Bush is in the middle of the right-wing, like Carter was in the middle of the left-wing at that time.
Yeah, it seems that way, and it also seems like everything is working out just fine in the eyes of the press and everything. The stock market is higher than it's ever been. We've won a few wars in the last few years. Of course, public dissatisfaction with Bush is at an all-time high because of unemployment and inflation and that kind of thing. But, you know, I don't know if we'll be able to brush that aside in 92.
So now my question to be able to connect with the rest of the callers is that, okay, so the skateboarders, graffiti artists, headbangers, et cetera, not trying to et cetera, meaning explain them away or anything.
Right.
They're all, I guess, equivalently value. In this new era, will they be more likely to be socialist and against the system because being little rebels, not little, to mean, I don't mean little bad, but being rebels, or will they more likely to be influenced by the media and go like pro-Bush, pro-Republican?
Well, I think whatever they do, it's going to be to rebel in a form and to... people have a tendency... not to think of other people. They have a tendency to just think of themselves, no matter who they're rebelling against. You know, what's best for them, and what's, you know, what's the best way to get away from whatever the system is telling them to do, whether that be skateboarding or kite flying or what have you. It's awfully hard to predict. Yes, the media can control these people. The government, to a degree, can control people, but it's so hard to predict, you know?
Basically, no matter what the system is, people will always be people to rebel against it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get to that human element, and that's what made the whole Soviet system eventually fall because the human element was appealed to. And, you know, Gorbachev did that. Of course, it was his own downfall by doing that, but it was probably something that needed to be done. And once you appeal to that human aspect, things go in a certain way. Now, I don't know what kind of society they're going to have in the next couple of years. It might be good. It might be worse than what they had before.
Okay, incidentally, I do like your playing at the Clash. You've played some great songs the last few weeks.
Great, then you'll be happy to know that I've got an extended version of the song Straight to Hell. You ever heard that song?
No.
Oh, that's off the Combat Rock record.
Okay. Do you find that the Clash and their almost anti-establishment view almost appeals to your human element?
Yeah, I'd say so, definitely.
Good.
Definitely appeals to my human element. And I think it appeals to a lot of people's human elements, but unfortunately, too many people don't listen to the lyrics.
Right.
But, you know, the sound is good, too. You know, you can get people with sound. Ask any preacher. They'll say that the evil beat is what's going to get you in trouble.
Well, it's good to have you back. I'm sorry you're sick, but I think you and Matt do a fantastic job.
Well, that's good to hear. Let me just ask you the question I'm asking everybody tonight. What's your definition of alternative music?
My personal one, or what I think it is generally and globally?
How about both?
Yeah, my personal, as mellow as the Stone Roses and Brian Ferry, as harsh as, I guess, Clash, Ramones, etc., and Sex Pistols, and globally, anything that anybody thinks is appealing to the human element and going against the establishment.
So, to you, alternative music is going against the establishment. It's more like what is within the music, not so much the style of the music?
Both, because you can actually listen to something that's avant-garde, and the music itself, rather than the words,
mm-hmm.
also goes really harshly against them. Somebody like John Cage or Schoenberg went really against what the system was, or even some of the electronic musicians of nowadays, like Philip Glass or Jean-Michel Jarre.
Uh-huh.
That's really hard-hitting against what we're normally hearing on commercial radio.
Now, what happens if something alternative gets very popular? Is it still alternative then?
That's a good question. I was actually a DJ across the water at Fairfield University, and I had that same question. I had no idea what college radio was. I listened to it. I like some of what I hear, but that's an excellent question. Maybe it has something to do with a Neoplatonism. Forget that. That's a lot of baloney.
Well, you were a DJ at which station?
WVUF.
Oh, I've heard of that station. That's a fairly good station, actually.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, and I don't know. I think DJs should be a new group that's talked about in this program because they're awesome, too.
Yeah, any DJs out there, please call us up. And not USB DJs, please, because you're on the air enough already. All right, listen, thanks very much for calling.
Thank you, Eric.
All right, 632-6901 is our phone number. And in case you can't tell, I'm sick, and I feel a little better, though. I mean, yes, the room is still moving around a little bit, but I've got aches. And, well, I don't think it's important to get into that right now. We are going to play that extended version of Straight to Hell, though, for all you Clash fans out there. We're going to go back to the phones in just a second. But first, a couple more hard-hitting questions for the county executive from Newsday this Monday. And Billy, you going to step in for a couple more of these?
Sure.
All right. I should warn people. You know, if you can't take the hard stuff, tune away or turn off the radio or walk out of the room or something like that. Don't leave the radio unattended. You know, a small kid might walk in. Okay. Do you bite your fingernails? Can you believe this? Asking the county executive if he bites his fingernails?
I would say that he doesn't.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
This is the admission of a habit he had in the past.
When he made the transformation from coffee to tea, maybe.
Well, of course, you know, doesn't say anything here about the Betty Ford Clinic, but there are implications, let's put it that way. He used to bite his fingernails, and he claims now, I don't have time anymore.
Doesn't have time.
Now, when's the last time you said to yourself, I've got to reserve 15 minutes to bite my fingernails? Come on, Robert Gaffney, give us a break here. You don't bite your fingernails when you have time. You bite your fingernails when you're doing something else.
Right.
As you're doing something else. It's you know, because you're...
Because you don't realize it.
You don't realize it,
right.
It's
a habit.
How many of you realize? How many of you say, I am now biting my fingernails and that's nothing else I'm going to do right now?
Or you put it in your evening's agenda. See,
and again, maybe
turn
this
the TV
is,
off, turn the stereo off.
Maybe this is telling us something about his personality.
Yeah.
Maybe he does have to, you know, plan to bite his fingernails. I'd like to see his agenda. Must be some very interesting things on there. What's your favorite TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
60 Minutes.
No, you're very close, though. You're very close. He's a rebel.
Primetime Live.
No, but you're even closer. You got the right network.
Yeah, wait. Baba Wawa.
I can't think of anything. It's got numbers in it.
90210.
No, not that kind of number. 2020.
2020.
You know how all the news
one.
Shows have numbers in them? They all do.
Yeah, except
2020, 60 Minutes. Well, I can't think of any others right now, but there used to be one called 1986 back in 1986. 48 Hours.
48 Hours.
There's others. They all have numbers in them.
Very good.
Yeah. And he also likes football.
Great. Forget it. Get him out of there.
That was a shame about the Oilers today, wasn't it? Yes, they were ahead with 1 minute to go, and they lost. But anyway, people expect the Oilers to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the sports section tomorrow we'll be talking all about it. Cheers.
Cheers is what?
No, I was just saying Cheers. No, it's a TV show. He likes
I know.
TV shows.
Oh,
Cheers.
He likes that, too?
Yes. But he laments, I don't get a chance to watch much TV anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't either, except when I'm sick and I have to, like, sit and watch TV shows like Sisters come on and torment me.
So he likes Cheers.
He says he does. He says he does. Or this is really controversial. Are you a Jets or Giants fan?
How could he have answered this one?
Well, just think back to the Coke or Pepsi question that he so skillfully alluded.
He passed it on, as they say?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't that naive. Because he can't say, I like them both. He can't do that.
Yeah.
Because then everybody will hate you.
Because he said he liked football, so what could
he did say he liked football, so they let him right into that question.
So what is it?
Jets.
Jets?
Jets.
That's what he said?
That's what he said.
Wow.
And then they asked, are you a Mets or Yankees fan?
Well, let's see. Yankees.
No, Mets. And I see a pattern there.
Shea Stadium.
No? Well, the Jets don't play in Shea Stadium.
Well, they used to.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, so did the
Cosmos. Well, he might have, you know, he's no youngster. He probably went to see the Mets and the Jets.
No. Jets. Mets, you get it?
Yeah.
All his teams have to rhyme, that way he can keep track of them. But if World Team Tennis was still there, it'd be
team.
The Sets. Well, they didn't ask that.
Mets?
But I'll bet it is. And it would have to be, too, because the Mets are a Long Island team. And, oh, wait a minute.
No, they
New
used
Jersey.
To be. Now they're New Jersey.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, they all left. And it's like, everyone's gone.
I'll bet he likes the Islanders. They're still
he has to.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Okay, when you cook.
Oh, he does Nassau County, though.
When you cook, what's your specialty? And I didn't say peanut butter.
Oh, this just opens up all kinds of possibilities.
It sure does.
Gaffney.
Robert Gaffney.
What is
his
ethnic
Robert
background?
Gaffney cook? Well, I don't know if you get into the guy's ethnic background. I don't know. What kind of name is Gaffney?
I don't know.
Probably came up in the elections. I wasn't paying any attention.
Oh, gee. Let's see. He likes junk food for lunch. I'm a pizza.
He's a Republican.
I don't know.
If that
doesn't help
racial
me.
Background.
Pork rinds.
No. It's a good guess, though. I really don't cook that much. If left to my own devices, it's usually sandwiches or a can of soup.
Oh, man. This guy is a dietary disaster.
Well, I sure hope he's not in charge of, handing out rations in a hurricane or something. Here we go. Do you put Christmas lights on your house?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Some around, some branches in
he
the front.
Has to.
And white lights in the windows, candles. What do you think I am, some kind of nut?
That's what he said?
No. But it's definitely in there. You can see it. What did you get for Christmas?
Oh, gee. What did he get for Christmas?
You know, this was a recent interview.
A scarf.
No, that's close, though. A sweater,
uh-huh.
A new briefcase, and a raincoat.
Raincoat.
Which I think is symbolic.
Well, for, like, troubled times ahead.
Troubled times ahead. Yeah. Cold times ahead. What did you give your wife?
Well, let's see now. He couldn't have spent too much. Then people say, oh, he's loaded with money. So it would have to be pearl earrings.
That's very good. I gave her earrings. It doesn't say what kind of earrings, but they were earrings. A ladro? You ever heard of that? LLADRO. They say in brackets here, a collectible porcelain figurine.
Really?
Yeah. A pair of jeans.
He gave his wife a pair of jeans.
Yeah, and a shirt.
And a shirt. I don't know.
Yeah. And the shirt says, my husband is a county executive and all I got is this lousy t-shirt. What did you give your two daughters?
Two daughters. Let's see. Gave his wife
orders and orders? No, I don't think so.
No, I don't know.
Everything in the world.
That's what he gave?
I don't know what he means by that. My oldest got a sweater and a raincoat and shoes. My little one got a mirror for her bedroom set, a whole bunch of clothes.
A whole bunch of clothes and a mirror.
Now, I was curious about one thing. Now, wouldn't Santa Claus have brought that stuff for his daughter?
I suppose.
I mean, would she think that Santa Claus did that? So here he is in Newsday, and kids are...
How old is his youngest?
Well, I don't know, but he said, my little one.
A little one
usually believes in Santa Claus now. So does this little one think now that he got her the mirror and the clothes going on?
Well, maybe
he think Santa Claus did that.
Maybe Santa Claus...
And how much of this did his wife buy? Huh?
That's true.
Yeah. Because usually people go in it together, and then Santa Claus comes, and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
But,
well, maybe there's a Santa Claus thing, and then there's, like, from Mom and Dad also. That's possible.
What side of the bed do you sleep on if you were facing the bed?
If you're facing the bed.
I mean, if you're standing
up,
looking at the bed.
Right or left. What side of the bed? Probably the same side as his wife. No, sorry, they already had three daughters.
Oh, wait, I'm ready. I'm ready for my second.
Oh, yes, wait, it's 1 a.m. I'm here to give you your dosage.
Actually, you can snap because I'm...
Select anyone you want. Yeah.
Anyone I want from this package. They sure give you a lot, don't they?
19. Can you believe it? So 19.
If I was to down a handful of these, I'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't I?
I suppose so. I don't think you'd be able to take
it. Looks like you can down a handful. That's the kind of package it comes in.
Yeah,
aspirin's come in this big, serious container.
Yeah.
And it's sealed and everything like that.
I know. This, forget it. Someone could slip it into your tea.
That's a horrible thing to think. Because I'm going to drink tea later. Maybe somebody will slip this into my tea, especially if we give them the idea.
Well, it says in the front, 19 lozenges. I think that's...
Why they
do?
Why not 20?
I don't know.
All right.
How many more questions have we got?
Only a few, about a half dozen.
Great.
Then we'll go back to the telephones. Do you have any pets?
He has.
I don't think you know this.
No.
You've done some research.
It just popped in my head. He has a dog.
You know, it's sometimes shocking to know how little citizens know about their representatives. It really is. You think that Robert Gaffney, our new county executive, has a dog. Well, let me tell you, Bill, you're wrong. He has two cats.
Two cats?
Now, I don't know what
you know what should
what
tip
you
me
would
off?
Be thinking. To, you know,
it should have tipped me off that he drinks tea.
Yeah.
Coffee drinkers have dogs. Tea drinkers have cats. I don't know why. It just seems to be that way.
All right. Well, here's a way to vindicate yourself. What are their names?
The two cats.
Two cats. You see, it's a real need to know this kind of thing.
Are they common cat names?
One certainly is.
Kitty.
Yes. That's very good.
And the other one is Steve. No, I don't know.
No, but it does begin with an S.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's not a tabby kind of name, huh?
Well, it's an E kind of a name. Something E.
S-E?
No, something that ends in an E. Not an E.
Oh, oh, oh.
An E, you know, like...
Right.
Shabby or...
Oh, I don't know.
Sandy.
I would have never guessed that.
Kitty and Sandy. Those are the names of the two. You heard it here, folks, in USB. The names of the two cats of the county executive.
The brand new.
I'm filing this away because I know this is going to come in handy in future months. What's your favorite kind of physical activity?
Tennis.
I like to ski.
I like to ski.
Do you do any...
What does he do in the summer?
Well, they sort of are trying to guess me out of him here. Do you do any daily physical activity?
Does he do any daily physical activity? I'd say he does some sort of a daily physical activity.
I used to run a lot. A lot.
While he was biting his nails.
Yeah, and he emphasized a lot. Said it twice.
Really?
I ran in the Cross Island Marathon.
Wow.
I walk a lot now.
How old is he? Do we have an age?
Yeah, they don't ask him that. What's your favorite comic strip? Now, this is a good question.
Favorite comic strip. Doonesbury.
What's your favorite comic strip?
Calvin and Hobbes.
That's mine, too. But his favorite comic strip is The Far Side.
Really?
Which you wouldn't expect.
Good. That's great.
You wouldn't expect that.
No. Well, that puts another weird aspect to his personality.
It sure does.
The Far Side is definitely over the top, as they say.
But David Lynch would have a field day with this character. Do you use an electric razor?
I would say yes, he does.
Now, let me ask you what you think the politically correct answer to that is.
I would say yes, because it's faster and he can get to the office faster and do his job faster.
Well, the answer is no. I think it would be politically correct to say no because it doesn't use any energy. And it's going back to nature.
There you
using
go.
Using disposable Bics.
Yeah, I was going to say, but...
whatever.
All right, you have to throw away that stuff and...
out of sight, out of mind.
Either way, you're screwed.
Final question of Robert Gaffney, our new county executive from Monday's Newsday. Do you read the newspaper in the bathroom?
Wow.
Yeah. They're not afraid to ask anything.
It's a biggie. That is a biggie.
A good grand finale here, don't you think?
I would say that he said no.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
I forget, though. Yes, no, sometimes, though.
The man is a master at telling you what you want to hear.
Wow.
So that way he pleases everybody. He pleases the environmentalists who want to recycle newspaper. He pleases the pressmen who mm-hmm. want to publish a newspaper. He pleases the reporters who write the newspaper. He pleases people like us on the radio
yeah.
who are reading from the newspaper right now.
Well, I think it's more credit to the reporter who actually asked these questions.
They should have asked, did you read this article in your bathroom?
Yeah.
They should have asked that, but they didn't.
Can we call him?
I think that'd be a great idea, but I've been fascinated by this. Something like 40 questions to ask the county executive. They should ask everybody that. I like to see George Bush get asked these questions. And that came from Newsday, Monday, December 30th, from Jim Pazangera, staff writer from Newsday.
Last Monday's Newsday.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to save it myself, too.
Oh, here, I insist. Take it with you.
Take it with me?
Yeah.
You have another one at home?
No.
You said you were going to file this away.
I am. Take it.
Okay.
Okay, Bill. Well, thanks very much for helping me out here with my sickness.
How's your
sickness.
Fisherman's friend doing for you?
Well, it's sort of, you know...
It does help, right?
Acid on your tongue, sort of, but there's definitely something going
on. But after those taste buds die...
Well, there's a major war going on inside my head right now.
Yeah.
You know, I can feel, like, artillery being hurled back and forth. But, you know, I just have to stay alive until 2, or shortly thereafter, anyway. And I can collapse again for another 36 hours.
Very good.
Yeah. I hope I haven't given you a whole lot of germs.
I hope not, too.
That would be a very nice way of sharing our time together on the radio. The program is Brain Damage. Our telephone number is 632-6901. If you call it, you'll hear a busy signal now because all of our lines are taken with impatient callers that want to get on the air and tell us.
Do you find that? Do you find you have more callers now that you're on at midnight as opposed to 10 p.m.?
Yeah, oh, definitely. More
definitely
people
lighting up.
More people listen to the radio between 12 and 2 and have telephone access. Yes.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
We spent about, $125,000 on that research to find that out.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and then we made our move. Yeah. In fact, you used to have this time slot, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I used to be on after you.
Yeah, that must have been quite a trip.
Oh, it was great. I loved it. But now I did a last-minute fill-in this evening.
Yeah, for the psychedelic attestant.
Mm-hmm.
How's that show going?
It's going.
In the old Brain Damage time slot.
Yep. And we get I get Brain Damage calls.
I'll bet you do.
And I say, tune in at midnight.
All right. Well,
it's a good time to get brain damage.
It is a good time. I don't know if it's a good time for me to get brain damage right now, but... you know, I think I'm going to take this hat off. That'll make my head breathe a little better. There we go.
It is a little stuffy in here.
Yeah. How can it be stuffy if the heat isn't on?
I guess these machines, right?
The machines are emanating heat.
They do heat the room.
I see. Okay, we've got Moscow mailbag up there.
Fascinating.
I don't know if I have time to get to it. Yeah, it's interesting tape that they send us. So if people want to hear that, tell us that you want to hear that and we'll play it. Otherwise, we'll just take more phone calls and play the extended version of The Clash with Straight to Hell, which is one of my favorite songs. I guess the thing I'm going to do right now is press one of these red buttons and take a phone call.
Let it rip.
Good evening.
Hello?
How you doing?
It's Tommy Wong.
What?
Tommy Wong.
Yeah? Where are you calling from?
Mastic.
Mastic? Way out there on the eastern part of Long Island.
Yeah.
Any flooding?
Yeah, any flooding?
No.
Really? You weathered the storm okay?
Yeah.
No injuries or damage to your home?
Lots of rain.
Lots of rain, yeah. Well, I think if it was only 50 degrees colder, it would have been a couple of feet of snow.
Yeah?
Yeah. Does that make you bitter?
No, it would have been better.
Yeah, I think it would have been better too, but I'm bitter that it didn't happen. Because we always never get snow.
Yeah, I got a snowball for Christmas, and I can't use it.
You got a snowball for Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, you can use a snowball any time of the year.
A snowboard.
A snowboard. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if Gaffney snowboards.
Wait, what is a snowboard? Is that like a sled?
It's like a skateboard.
It's like skis. One ski.
Okay, you're going to have to explain this to me. How does it work?
You put both feet in one ski.
Yeah.
And you go downhill.
It's like a skateboard without wheels.
Yeah, it's like a skateboard.
Are your feet latched in?
Yeah.
They are. So, but if you fall on a skateboard, at least the skateboard falls away from you. But this way, the skateboard would fall with you. Wouldn't you get all kinds of, like, you know, twisted ankles and things that way?
It hurts.
It does hurt. I'll bet it does. Hurts pretty good. Wow. All right, let me ask you the question I'm asking everybody today. What's your definition of alternative music?
I like it.
Well, yeah. Okay, we all like it, but...
what is it?
Yeah. Name a band that's alternative in your view, or a kind of music that's alternative.
Dinosaur Jr.?
Dinosaur Jr. What do you think, Bill?
That's alternative, I would say.
Yeah.
And Ned's Atomic Butt Dustin.
Okay. Okay. How old are you?
15.
15. Okay. Well, we're going to write that down in our survey here and send it over to Mr. Gallup.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Bill, what's your definition of alternative music?
No. That's a good one. A definition of alternative music without giving you a band example, you mean?
Well, you know, what I'm debating here is alternative music a style of music or is it a very general term?
I think it's an alternative way of thinking about music.
Uh-huh.
Where it could, you know, like, you could like Mariah Carey and you could consider it alternative.
Uh-huh.
I think music is a very personal thing and... I don't know. Tough to say. There's a lot of people say, oh, I love music. Oh, yeah, what do you like? Oh, anything. Whatever's on the radio.
Well, what I'm asking is alternative a category like new wave or a category like hardcore or like heavy metal?
Is it an official category?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. See, I don't know. I
got into a six-hour argument with somebody over this, so I'm not going to say what side I took.
Yeah.
But
to avoid another.
Well, I don't want to tarnish listeners or persuade them in any way.
Alternative. Well, I guess according to Billboard or whoever, there is an official alternative category of music, but as far as what goes in it, don't ask me, because...
You're a DJ. You're the best person to ask.
Yeah, but there's just so much stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's so much, and how can you say this is, you know, new music? And then I have this modern rock category. What is that? Is that new? Is that a new thing?
Modern rock. What is that?
It's on the Billboard thing. They had... Big Audio Dynamite 2 is listed in the modern rock category.
Yeah, modern rock, huh?
So what is that like? Where does modern rock begin and new music or new wave or end?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, new music was a style at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was new wave, right? And then we had new music.
Yeah, what was that all about?
But then what? When you, every, that means like new music? I don't know, that's too general for me.
Uh-huh.
I just get into my own thing, man.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think we all have in common. We all get into our own thing. And I'd like to hear what other people think about that. I'm getting quite weak now. Room is going around in circles. I think.
Put the hat back on.
May I ask, why are you having fisherman's friends? Because
I
don't have a cough.
I always have like a clogged, not always, but sometimes when my nose is clogged, and it's better than using the old nasal
neighborhood
spray
dealer
stuff.
Of this stuff.
Yeah,
you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you always have a pack.
Me and a couple of other friends are like always in need. Do you have a friend? Sure, here you go.
Next time you come by, you're going to sell me Fisherman's Friends. You're giving them to me now as a trial. And then I'm going to follow you and ask you for them, and you're going to sell them to me. And
you got to admit, it's a great dialogue. I love them. They're great.
Yeah, they're
something.
Open up passages that haven't been opened in years.
Yeah, definitely.
Bill, thanks for stopping by.
I'm going to stick around for a couple of times.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. I didn't mean to kick you out or anything.
No,
you can stay as long as you want.
Thank you very much.
All right, enjoy the show.
All right, take it easy.
I believe there's a line from a Rolling Stones album.
Enjoy the show.
1:15 in the morning. If you don't know that, that's the morning. Then probably my telling you won't do any good at all. 632-6901, good evening, morning.
Thank God. Finally on.
So you believe in God, is that it?
No. As a matter of fact, I don't.
Do you talk to non-existent people all the time?
Excuse me?
Do you always talk to non-existent people?
I believe in the spray can.
There's a spray can called God?
It's called Krylon.
Well, there's a truck company called God, guaranteed overnight delivery.
Really?
Yeah. You see, imagine seeing that coming towards you before you know you get run over by it.
Big 18.
The last thing you see is the word God hitting you. Square on.
The last thing you see is your life before your eyes.
Well, who's to say, you know?
True, because, you're right. I've never died before.
Yeah.
And, well, there's always reincarnation.
There's always that. Yeah, something to look forward to.
Okay, let's go for something.
Or look behind to.
Okay.
What's on your mind?
Well, let's see. I'm in the bathroom right now. I have a portal phone up there.
Are you reading Newsday?
Wait, what are we going
to
ask
him? I'm talking to you.
What are we going to ask him to do with his phone?
Put it in the freezer.
Well, he could put it inside that, what do they call that, compartment in the toilet. Not inside the toilet, but
in the back?
The top part.
The top part.
When you have a flood, you push them.
Yeah, where that little guy in the boat shows up occasionally?
Yeah. Oh, well,
Why don't we just go for the toilet flush.
Back in the old days with the Voice of Long Island, we had a toilet flushing commercial once. Toilet flushing contest on the radio. We also had a phone dropping contest. But that was in the days when phones sounded good when they dropped them.
What? Phone dropping contest? Oh,
well,
sorry,
you know, you would drop the phone and it would go bung da bung da bung, you know, that noise.
It actually, yeah,
oh,
it rang.
Now it goes click. It went bung da bung da bung, like that.
One more time.
That's one of the old Bell phones. In fact, if somebody out there has an old Bell phone, you know, that with a circular earpiece and circular, mouthpiece, thank you, call us up and drop it, you know, drop just the, you know, that part of it, the receiver.
It actually has a tonality to it.
It's amazing. Smart. It really is. But you drop today's phones and either they break or they just go clunk, and that's no fun.
Clunk? Well, it sometimes goes the bung, the bung.
Well, yeah, you got it. I mean, that's the sound, all right, but try finding a phone these days that you can do that with.
Well, I'd do it right now, but my phone is already cracked and taped it.
No, you see, you don't have one of those phones because they never cracked. I mean, people killed people with those phones. They never broke.
Oh, just another thing. I think Scott was the best fill-in DJ because, like, all the other phone DJs were really lame. But he was a really swell guy. He's a really good character.
Scott. Scott Warburton, is that it?
I don't know. The guy who filled in your show last week.
That was Matt.
Matt.
Not Scott, Matt. All
right, Doormat.
Two T's at the end, but that's about the only similarity.
Yeah, Doormat. Right.
Yeah. Well, you see, I've never heard Matt's show because whenever he's on, I'm not here.
Oh. Makes sense.
There's no way to do that.
Tape it, don't you?
What?
Tape it, don't you?
Well, he might tape it, but the tape becomes his personal property, and I can't, you know, steal from him. That wouldn't be right.
Well, there's a new word in the dictionary called borrow.
Well, you see, I haven't gotten my new dictionary yet, so there's a lot of words I don't know about.
How do you know what alternative music definition is?
Because maybe alternative is an ageless word. Is that possible?
We haven't really given you a definition.
Actually, if you look, I think in the source, they tell you when the word was, like, brought into use.
Uh-huh. So, do you want to look it up for us?
Hell no. I don't know the source.
Well, I wasn't sure if you had a whole library in there or what.
Actually, no. I just have my book from English class.
Uh-huh. And that's what you read in the bathroom, huh?
No, I read that in the bedroom. It's called, it's with,
Well, wait, if you read it in the bedroom, why is it in the bathroom now? You did say you were in the bathroom.
To Kill a Mockingbird. Well, no, I'm not in the bathroom.
You're in the bathroom to Kill a Mockingbird?
Taking a dump. It's called To Kill a Mockingbird. It's a really good book.
I know that book.
Yeah, it's a good book.
It was written by Gregory Peck.
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe I have that wrong. I just know Gregory Peck was in there somewhere. I don't know.
Director, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, Gregory Peck was a good person. Yeah, that's
Isn't
it.
He acted
still alive?
Gregory Peck was a character in the book.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Oh, word up.
Yeah, so what's your definition of alternative music then?
MC Hammer, definitely. He's too legit.
Why is that alternative?
Because he's so popular and everybody wants to be like him.
Wait a minute. your definition of the word alternative is popular and someone that everyone wants to be like. That's definitely an alternative definition of the word.
My definition of alternative clothes style is the L.A. Raiders hat that nobody wears that's so unpopular.
Uh-huh. Now you're getting into some...
Starter jackets?
Some real hard stuff there.
The only starter jackets everybody got for Christmas?
Starter jackets? I see a lot of 8-ball jackets everywhere.
Yeah, I hear people getting killed for those.
Yeah, well, they're good jackets.
What, the 8-ball?
Yeah, the 8-ball jackets.
I personally wouldn't wear one because I don't have a gun to protect my jacket, and I think that's kind of silly.
I thought they come with guns, I thought.
What?
Don't they come with guns? What good is a jacket that doesn't come with a gun, or at least, you know, a machete or something?
Exactly my sentiments. That's why I didn't buy one.
Yeah. Well, anything else, sir?
Let's see. I'd just like to say that I think graffiti is really swell, and everybody should graffiti on their own house and then skate on it.
That's an idea. Do graffiti artists graffiti their own homes?
I did. I have my whole walls done in my bedroom, of course.
How about the outside of your house?
Not on the outside, no. In my bedroom.
Wouldn't be his home.
Do you think your parents might have something to say about that if you spray painted the outside of your house?
Well, there's my... No, we just got aluminum siding on the side of the house. I don't think they're going to dig that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can do that on the subway trains, but it comes off very easily off the aluminum.
Well, you get caught easily.
Yeah, that too. Stand out like a sore thumb.
Can I just say that...
Word, word, word.
There's nothing worse than bad graffiti.
Well, what was your definition of bad graffiti?
Just something that is that you could, you know, like, John was here. You know, that kind of garbage.
You know, I never see that in the city. I never see that.
No, not in the city. You don't see it, but you see it, like, in some of the backyard buildings of Selden.
I see it on the expressway on that wall. All this patriotic stuff.
Really?
You know, it's like, you know, U.S. kick ass in Iraq and all that kind of thing. It's, I don't know why, you know, only people with those particular political beliefs draw graffiti on the wall.
On the wall.
But, I don't know, where's the real artistic graffiti?
Yeah, it's got to be artistic. It's got to be appealing to the eye as well as a message.
Right. You know,
just like a good song.
Well, we have this rock on campus. We have this huge rock.
Out on the...
On Nichols Road. Yeah.
Yes.
And for years, since the 60s, people have been painting things on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what's on it right now. But what's happened over the past couple of years is all these other rocks have shown up on campus, and they've been bought or given to fraternities, and fraternities just paint their particular symbol on them.
Yeah.
And... it's like, it's the completely the wrong approach.
Well, who cares?
Who cares, exactly.
And like this SIB thing.
But I cannot, or anybody on this campus cannot go and get their own rock and paint something on it.
The USB rock.
Only, you know, approved groups can do it and paint something completely meaningless, some Greek letter that doesn't...
That only means something to them.
Right, so it's...
Which you have to constantly remind themselves of their name.
It's like they're giving them the benefit of free expression without allowing them to say anything. You know? I think there should be a rule that any fraternity that paints a symbol should paint it in words, you know, and say something that at least one person will want to punch somebody to protect.
Right.
You know?
What do they stand
like,
for?
I'm better than you, or something like that. You know, just something.
Spray
some
your credo.
Some expression. There should be more freedom, more artistic freedom, more, you know, ideas being posted, because that's the way it is around the world. You know? People are constantly shooting and dying for these things, and we don't even care enough to write it in the first place. Not that we should shoot and die for it, but it's, you know, it's just free expression. That's what we...
Well, most people have nothing to say.
But that's not true. You know, people do have something to say. They just don't say it.
Mm.
They should say it.
That's true. They've been... Actually, I've been made to believe that I have nothing to say.
Yeah, oh, that's definitely true. It's reinforcing
it's
to your head.
It's from that glue-sniffing MTV.
Yeah.
Thank
it's,
you.
It's reinforcing your head constantly that... you have nothing to say. But I think everybody's got something to say. They, you know, and that's what we offer this program for. In fact, that's why we should be allowing people to talk. But people, you know, all have a unique perspective on life. They've all seen things that none of us have seen.
Very true.
And, you know, whether or not you phrase it intelligently or not, you have a unique aspect to how everything... You know, these fishermen friends are really putting me through a trip here, because I'm rambling on about nothing in particular, and I'm sort of levitating now. I can sort of
good.
See myself down below, and it's really
wow.
something. Yeah, being sick is like taking strange drugs. You know,
would
really
you
is.
Like a couple for the road?
Well, I don't think I should drive in the influence of those things. You know, imagine if you got, you know, arrested for driving while sick. EWS, because, you know, I don't feel completely in control of my faculties,
mm-hmm.
facilities, or whatever that word is, but. I don't know. Hopefully it'll wear off before I leave.
Hopefully.
Or I'll fly home. I don't know. 632-6901. Good morning.
How you doing?
How you doing? I'm sick, but that's not the issue here.
Right.
Yeah.
What's
on your mind?
No. Ex-DJ buzzing you.
You're an ex-DJ? From where?
Yeah, from Oswego, New York.
All right, Oswego.
Yeah.
Gets cold up there, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. A lot of snow drifts and a lot of very cold weather.
You're on a cordless phone, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. So tell us what it's like at DJing in Oswego. Did you have freedom?
Yeah, actually, it was kind of like a talk music thing. If we weren't talking about the music, we were just picking up the local papers, however thin they were,
uh-huh.
trying to avoid stories like Johnny saving a turtle from Main Street or something like that, and getting down to the small print where maybe someone was sexually molested behind the local bar or something.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if we seek out those stories either, but... Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you know, there's lots of different ways of reading the news, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So how long ago was that?
Boy, the Oswego days. Oh, man.
Yeah,
well, I've
Oswego.
Been out of college for 2 years, and I DJed, so that's been 4 years ago.
Uh-huh. And how has it affected your life?
How has it affected my life?
Yeah. Are you a better person for being a DJ?
I don't know. I think it was really cool having an outlet to say what I wanted to say, and I kind of prided myself on... kind of being a surrogate on at least some small base of, you know, kind of built-in Oswego type C personality that kind of had the similar thing to say and
uh-huh.
a lot of dissimilar people called in and cool things like that.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. It was a neat thing. I'd like to do it again sometime, but...
Well, you can always join our station.
Yeah, well...
Our station's open to the community and the campus and all those people.
Well, it's something to look into. Although, I hear you've been there a while, and to get a talk show, you know, I heard would be pretty tough.
It takes a bit of effort, but by the time you get to that stage, you're ready for it, and that's the important thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But, well, what do you mean? What kind of prerequisites are there to having a talk show on, let's say, a WUSB?
Well, it's, you know, there's no more requisite to having a talk show than having a music show. It's just whatever you want to do during your program, you do.
Really?
And, sure, that's what Freeform Radio is all about. The only thing that we put you through is intensive training of the equipment so you know how to run things. And, you know, some voice training, things like that, so you know what you're saying and... You can gather your thoughts. There's little things that everybody needs to know. You can't just, like, start in.
Sure.
It takes time, but it's a pleasant process. It really is, and it's well worth it, and it does help you in later life.
Yeah, I was kind of just thrown into it. I was originally a production assistant, just kind of making carts and cool things like that.
Uh-huh.
And one day just kind of showed up on my, on the show. The Mike Myman was... I guess you'd say I was his assistant, so he was the producer and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And next thing you know, I was on the executive staff, and next thing you know, I'm just kind of on this show, just kind of saying things. You know how it goes.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
And you can't do that on a commercial station, but you can reach a lot of people on non-commercial radio. There's no, radio that cannot get non-commercial radio. Everybody has a chance of stumbling upon us at some point. And when they do, either they, they turn the station away quickly or they stay around and listen to some things that
sure.
they never heard before. Tell me, as a DJ, what's your definition of alternative music?
Oh, boy. It certainly has changed and gone through a lot of, I don't know. I used to just kind of stick to the Webster's. Well, actually, even that's wrong, too. You know, according to Webster, it would really be alternative conjunction music.
What's that?
Well, it's a conjunction joining elements which are to be understood as alternative, which is really what goes on. Because it's not in and of itself an alternative thing, you see. It's when you might take a few things that not so often go together and pull it off successfully to the point where a group of people might start to enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
And then... to be truly alternative, I guess you'd have to die off and really never show up again.
Now, that's a good point. Once alternative, a particular type of music that is alternative becomes popular, does it still remain alternative?
Well, I don't know. I think as soon as you can tag it a crossover, I think then it stops. Even if the mainstream has kind of swayed towards an alternative style, maybe... embracing broader things. I think as soon as it embraces broader things, there should be things further away for the truly alternative to grasp too. It should go in both directions. I think it's a good thing if the mainstream grabs something like a Single Gun Theory. This band that's only two albums old,
mm-hmm.
and already DRE's playing a few tunes. From a Million Miles, Words Written Backwards, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And I first heard it and was really surprised they would even touch it myself. But, bands like Nirvana and stuff get attention and Faith No More and all that. I think that's when it stops in my mind.
That's when they stop being alternative.
Yeah, well, it's like a point of recognition, which is, and it's nothing wrong with being recognized and making money and, power to the people. They've been in the business long enough and, whatever, put their time in. There's very few overnight type success stories, so... power to them. But as far as labeling them something, which is a totally weird idea to label something alternative anyway.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
The definition, kind of entails that there should be no limits, and yet you're kind of trying to tag this name onto it.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of proof that now what I think is alternative is really alternative is nothing more than just another catchphrase that maybe some... ad hoc fascist marketing staff was paid to think up, and they throw certain groups that can kind of make it into this category, whatever, they're really not concerned with that, the stylistic content, the lyrical content, even the thought process that goes into it. I don't think they're too concerned with it. If they can call it alternative and stick it on a certain Racket Tower Records I think then they're guaranteed X amount of sales, and that's all they're concerned with.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then, you know, you could get really spaced out and say, wow, it's the, you know, musical equivalent of the air bubbles trapped beneath the palms of Marilyn Monroe while she made handprint impressions at Grumman's Chinese Theater. You know, so it's all kinds of things.
You're reading a script?
You guys come up with that yourself?
But yeah.
He definitely belongs on the air, this guy.
It's all kinds of things, you know, that's the problem. And then you get these, you know, I've been running into a lot lately is the catchphrase industrial.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's been bugging me because, you know, the Einsch design, you know, the Nubot and stuff, and even, you know, the first industrial stuff, you know, I mean, what can could have been considered industrial, I guess, but more so the throbbing gristle type stuff. And when Cabaret Voltaire actually used found object sound, you know, and now it's nothing more than Adrian Sheerwood produced dance music. You know, I mean, they come up with this cool name, and you know, all the Dadaists hung out, and they stopped doing audio Dada. What's really the point?
Uh-huh.
You know, the term is upsetting me. I guess you know, Skinny Puppy, Nine Inch Nails, Meat Beat, Consolidated, all that stuff can be considered industrial only because of its sound and its stylistic content. But the lyrics really conflict a lot. I mean, Consolidated is absolute left wing pro-lesbian and gay supporting, you know, no meat eating. And then we have the really out of control Al Jorgensen in like a revolting Cox who's really just ready to do anything in one of his acid trips, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So the stuff is, and you'll hear it too. You'll be at a club, you'll hear some Consolidated song off Myth of Rock, and then they'll go straight into Beer, Steers, and Queers remix, so evidently to your average DJ.
Do you think that music like Elvis Presley when it first came out, the Beatles when they first came out, was that alternative?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen how cool that stuff was.
Uh-huh.
Really. I mean, you know, you got to think, that's another thing. You got to put everything in this time frame. Everything is real time. And as soon as we listen to it a day after it's been thought of, it's no longer real time and can only be, you know, and you can only hope that. Like, you've heard the industrial sound of Ministry and stuff, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And Revco, and, with you know, with the they all have distorted vocals.
Before they changed their sound, or was it the other way around? Which way did Ministry go?
Ministry?
Did they go...
Ministry used to be, like, techno-pop with a fake English accent, even though Al Jay is from, you know, Pittsburgh or something. But they went to this harsh industrial sound.
Okay, yeah, it went the other way, okay.
Yeah, I think he started doing a lot of acid or something. He admits to it because he says it helps him produce or whatever. I don't really know. But he, you know, that classic type industrial, people hear you know, some distorted vocals, you know, a heavy drum beat that you can kind of get into, and it just got this overall mood of angst to it, and you can consider that industrial. And I think the first industrial tune ever written, you know, industrial as we know it, was Beatles, I Am the Walrus. You know, You should think about playing an industrial tune back to back with Beatles, I Am the Walrus. You'd be amazed with the similarities.
Yeah.
Yeah. The orchestral hits that they use now, like My Life with the Thrill Co. Cult and, you know, Crunch-O-Matic, they all have these cool sample type hits in them. And the Beatles weren't far off with what they could gather.
I guess what we're driving at here is the, you know, there's all kinds of labels you can use, but really the important thing is that you know what you're talking about. You have a particular frame of reference, point of reference.
Oh, sure.
And that, you know, when you're saying industrial, you know the other person knows that you mean industrial and doesn't mean something else.
Yeah, even though it didn't used to mean that, but right. It's because of technology, I guess, it means something else, and it should, you know.
Right, language is constantly changing. Listen, sir, I want to get on some more calls. Let me just ask approximately how old you are.
I'm 23.
23. Okay, that's pretty approximate. Just for our survey here.
Survey.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Hey, could you do me a favor at the end of your show?
Yeah.
I'd failed to pick up U2's. Negative Land U2.
Negative Land U2.
Yeah. Did you ever see that 12-inch?
Yeah, the one with Casey Kasem on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll see if I can dig that up. I'm not sure if that's here or if it's locked up someplace.
Oh, yeah, because it was recalled, and of course you can't get it. I've written the band to see if they'd even run me off a copy and stuff, and it's just impossible to get because of litigation with Island. And it'd just be something cool, you know, to have. Maybe you could bridge your show with the next guy coming up.
Yeah, I know Don Joyce, who's in Negative Land, does a show on KPFA, I believe. Yeah, KPFA in San Francisco, Berkeley, and KPFB on Thursday nights, but... Other than that, I can't give you any more information.
Yeah, well, you know, all the K's, we can't get them.
Yeah, that's true, but you can call them.
Yeah, well, that's true, isn't it?
You can reach them.
I record it, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thanks for calling.
All right, man.
I already pressed the button. Sorry about that. 632-6901. We want to run a couple more calls here and then play that Clash song, which people are waiting for anxiously. Any comments over there on the other side of the room?
No.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next call then. Good morning.
He's got it. Definitely.
Right. Good morning.
Cool.
Calls like that make it easy to get through the call.
That was kind of industrial.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
It's about time, man.
Yeah, it is about time. How long have you been on there for?
I've been waiting since about quarter to one.
Quarter to one. It's now 1:30.
I got a really cool one to do at 1 o'clock, but it's no longer because Domino's Pizza closes at 1 o'clock.
What did you want me to do at Domino's Pizza?
I want you to call up and like say that you just ordered pepperoni pie and that you got sick of the dog and what you can do about it. But I guess you can't do that because they close at 1 o'clock.
Well, I can always call Domino's Pizza in Chicago where it's only 12:37.
You could do that.
See, there's always a possibility if you want to be mischievous somewhere.
But I don't have a number.
That's true, you don't.
Don't matter.
Well,
Jefferson, but it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an idea. We'll file it away for future consideration.
I'll ask Matt to do it next week, right? Matt's supposed to be there next week, right?
No, we don't alternate. He fills in for me. He will be, let's see, I don't think he'll be here next week, but he'll probably be here for the next 2 weeks after that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we'll work it out, but he will be on again.
He takes a lot more calls.
Uh-huh.
No, you gotta listen to your show.
All right.
I
take
it. About 50 calls.
I take the hint.
You only get about 4 or 5.
Well, you know, I get distracted easily. I'm also,
You know what's really good for that cough?
What?
No, you could do it to get rid of your cough.
Well, pass out would be one thing.
No, what really works for me is that you go to like a 7-Eleven something and you buy a Klondike bar.
Oh, no, not the Klondike bar, people. It's time for Straight to Hell because that's where I'm going right now. We're going to take some more calls in a minute. Well, actually about 6 minutes. What we have here is from the new Clash compilation type thing. A new version. Well, actually, I guess it was a version that was released on a 12-inch or something. Straight to Hell.
Extended, huh?
It's extended. It's got more lyrics.
Wow.
And more instrumentation.
Did you see the Clash of Bonds?
No, I never did.
I did.
I saw some of the videos. I saw them in Asbury Park.
Really?
Oh, yes, I did. And I saw them... what was that place downtown they played at? No, wait, that was Big Audio Dynamite.
I saw them at the Pier 84.
I saw them at the Pier.
With the
In the middle of a thunderstorm, yes.
Where you were there?
Mick Jones fell down, right?
I don't remember that.
Well, somebody fell down.
It was during White Riot, last song.
Yeah.
And it started raining and everybody
thunder.
Went crazy.
It was thunder, and I fell on the bleachers, too. In fact,
really?
I almost fell through the bleachers, but one of my friends caught me.
You kidding?
It was really quite an experience.
It was very rememberable. I have an entire bag of ticket stubs, and that one is just this ball.
I remember after the show, walking through Broadway, we were completely soaking wet, and all these well-dressed people were coming out of the shows. And looking at all these punks walking down the street and going right back into the theater as soon as they saw us.
We got crashed into that night from another car.
Really?
Yeah. So, a lot of Clash fans.
It's,
oh, sorry, man.
Sounds like something happened at a dead show.
Yeah.
But, okay, we're going to get to Straight to Hell, then we'll come back, take some more phone calls in the remaining
minutes. And I'll be on the road listening.
You're going to hit the road now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and maybe I'll call up. When are you on until 2:30?
No, 2.
2 o'clock? Oh,
I don't think
you'll
have enough time to get down to your car.
No, I know. We'll have to let the phone ring for 45 minutes.
Yeah, because we have a full switchboard here. It's,
all right.
I'll try to get to these calls.
Eric, I thank you.
All right, we'll see you again maybe next week.
Ladies and gentlemen of the radio listening audience.
When will you be on next?
I'll be on this Wednesday evening at 8:30.
All right. And we'll be doing psychedelic tests anytime soon?
I don't know.
Okay.
Whenever he decides to call me up and say, could you do this?
Who's that, Kevin?
Could you get me a fill-in? He called me from Canada and...
Canada?
Yeah. And said, call the station and tell them I can't make it. And I'm like, call who?
Well, I don't understand. Why couldn't he call the station?
That's what
you?
Because he's, you know.
All right.
Well, he's a psychedelic dude.
We won't get into that. But,
all right. Good evening.
See you later. 632-6901. Let's hear something from The Clash. We'll be right back. right, I don't believe this. It's skipping on the part that is different from all the other parts. Paul, do you know how to clean a CD? You spit on it or something? I don't know, but that really annoys me. Tell you what I'm going to do, folks. We're going to go out with this. And do you have another way to clean this?
I have no idea.
Well, maybe run it underwater or something.
I think you said it was take this little...
I don't even have a CD player. I don't know how to clean these things. That's really annoying because it wasn't skipping until the part that was different. It's like a plot. You know, they always get you in the end.
It's the anti-clashing.
Well, do we have a cloth or something? Or? Anybody out there know how to clean a CD?
I think white with, like, in a circular mode.
Okay, that's now the topic, folks. Anybody know how to clean a CD? And then we'll play this on the way out of here at 2 o'clock. Let's go back to the telephones. So embarrassing. Really. It's really embarrassing. And just to make it absolutely certain that doesn't happen again, we'll play it in a different CD player in case that's malfunctioning. Good morning.
How you doing, Eric?
How are you?
That was so disappointing.
It sure was, wasn't it? It almost makes you angry.
I started calling just because I thought you forgot that you mentioned you were going to play it, and I wanted to hear it.
Uh-huh.
Never heard the extended version.
Well, you know, you're going to hear it. I mean, we're going to play this thing. If it kills us, and it probably will.
And you probably don't remember me because I haven't spoken to you in about 2 years.
So 2 years?
Christina.
Christina, I remember you.
Yeah, how you been?
Now, why haven't you spoken to me in 2 years? Sorry?
Because I'm not a loyal listener.
Well, that's a pretty serious charge you've levied against yourself there. Have you been away?
No.
You've been in town and you haven't listened, huh?
Yes. I'm honest.
Yeah, you're honest, all right. Doesn't lessen the severity of the crime any, but yes, you are honest.
But you're out of town a lot.
Yeah, I'm out of town, but my thoughts are always with this place. You know, I'm going to wipe this with my shirt. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know anything about CDs.
All right, maybe I'll wait until somebody gives me some advice. But unless that's the wrong thing to do, I'm going to wipe it with my shirt before we sign off. Because,
oh.
I mean, you know, I hype this thing for an hour and a half, and then it skips.
Yep.
That's a story of my life. So what's new with you?
Wine, Eric.
I like whining. What's new in your life?
I'm going to whine about graffiti.
Oh, yeah? You don't like graffiti?
I don't like the vulgarity of it.
Uh-huh. It's not all vulgar. In fact, very little of it is.
Art?
Unless you mean just the way it looks.
Like on the side of Radio Shack, I'm not going to say what was there. I was so happy when it was finally taken off.
Uh-huh.
But that bothers me.
The side of Radio Shack, huh?
Read it. What's the point?
Uh-huh.
I don't like that.
Well, you know, as I said before, a lot of people have something to say. Unfortunately, most people don't really vocalize it properly. You know?
And you should also have respect for other people's property.
Yeah, that's true, too. But, you know, a wall someplace, you know, that's not really a cherished bit of property, I don't think. But, and again, I'm sure there's people out there that own walls that will be very upset that I said that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Berlin Wall, right? That had a lot of graffiti on it.
Yeah.
And now everybody's got a piece of it.
Well, that's...
I don't even know what I'm saying. I've got a raging fever here, and I'm just... Everything's going around in circles.
What's with this quest to want to know about alternative music? I don't understand.
Well, I'm seeking a definition, whether alternative music is a particular style of music or whether it's just a very general phrase for anything that's alternative.
I don't know. When I hear the phrase, I think of, like, I think of new wave music, like the WDRE music. That's what I think of.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. That's just what comes to my head.
Uh-huh. Well, that's one thought.
Because I like hardcore, but
yeah.
I wouldn't say that's alternative, although it is. But I don't think of it as alternative music.
Uh-huh.
But yet it is, because it's not mainstream.
Would you say a band like The Cars, is that alternative?
They're kind of classic.
They're classic now, but how about when they came out with that first album?
Yeah, I would think so.
Uh-huh. Well, it's an interesting question we can debate for many hours.
Got me thinking, and I'm in one of those confused states about it.
Yeah, I can identify with a confused state right now. So, anything else that's new? Are you still in school?
Of course.
Ah.
Still a youngin.
Well, is school still fun?
No.
Oh, well, that's good. Nothing's changed then.
Classes, not very good company.
Yeah.
Hard work.
Have you gone anywhere?
No.
You've just been here the whole time, not listening to USB?
Never go anywhere.
Wow. Take a train into the city, at least.
Well, I've done that.
Oh, okay. And keep going to Jersey or something.
I've done that, too, actually.
Really? You've lived a pretty full life.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Take the ferry to Bridgeport. There you go.
That.
Oh, well, you've done everything, then. There's nothing more I can suggest.
What?
Nothing more I can suggest. That's the extent of my adventures.
Every time I did it, though, it was to see a show.
You went to Bridgeport for my show?
No, to see a show.
Oh, okay. To see a show. Okay. Like a band playing or something. I see. Well, Christina, it's good hearing from you.
Yep.
I really mean that, even though I'm not seeing straight right now. And hopefully you'll call in the future and be a little bit more, you know, righteous.
Well, I don't mean to offend you.
All right, don't offend me then.
I don't like to hear that Radio Moscow, so.
Well, you didn't hear it, did you? I mean, look, it's sitting here on the machine.
And sometimes, and I don't call, and that bores me.
Your program, Moscow Mailbox.
See, we didn't play it.
I know, and I'm glad.
We didn't play it. It's just sitting there on the machine.
I like the Gaffney interview, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was something. That was in Newsday this week. So that wasn't really our interview, although we could ask those questions, I guess, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, listen, I got to go through the other calls to see if anybody has a way of me fixing this CD so we can go out with it.
Hear that.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
And let's see what we have here. Good morning. Is anybody there? 5, 4, 3. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a lousy connection, but go ahead anyway.
Hey, what's up?
Not much.
Who's this, Kevin?
No, it's not Kevin.
Eric?
It's Eric, yes.
Well, what's the problem with your CD?
Well, it was skipping.
What you got to do is you got to you fast forward it while it's playing.
Yeah.
Play it back. The laser will read it and it'll read over the scratch.
Ah, and it'll sort of fix the scratch.
Yeah, give it a try.
That's sort of like putting a quarter on top of a vinyl record.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, let me try that right now.
I've tried that many times and it usually works on my CD player.
Whoops, I hit the skip button instead of the search button. I hate it when I do that. I've got to go back one and now search through it. There it goes. It's zipping through there. It's halfway through the song. It's almost done. And now it is finished. Hopefully that worked.
Playing?
You think I should wipe it off too?
Nah.
All right, well, of course, other callers can still comment on that, whether they think I should wipe off the CD as well.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, make it quick, because we're running out of time.
What do you think of The Clash now? Now, you wouldn't think The Clash is alternative music now that they're so big now, right?
Well, you see, that's a very good question. I think a song like the one we almost listened to just now is very definitely an alternative song.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
But whether the band itself is alternative, that's something else, because they do have pop aspects, or did have pop aspects to them. So, yeah, there's like elements in it. And that's why I find it hard to, you know, to stylize a particular kind of music as alternative. Because it's just such a general word.
Yeah, you know, because I've been trying to call you all night. You know, we've been listening to your show all night, and I was like, I was thinking, you know, you're asking, what is your style? You know, you're asking people, what is your style of alternative music?
Right.
But, you know, you can have 10 different people with a different style of alternative music.
Uh-huh.
You know, somebody's opinion of one type of music might be alternative to somebody else's noise.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm trying to figure out a way to figure out some kind of music that's something, you know, that would be an alternative that everybody could listen to.
Yeah.
So how could we do that?
Well, it's awfully hard to cater to you know, billions of people.
Yeah, it's really hard to cater to a lot of different people. You know, I get tired of people talking about this. What the fuck?
Okay, we can't have that. Good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
It's about time. But anyway, before I get to what I wanted to say, to clean the CD, take like a window cleaner.
Yeah.
And then wipe it off with like an anti-static cloth, and that should do it pretty good.
Neither one of which the station seems to have. That's the problem.
But when you take it home or something.
If I take it home, then I can't play it here, can I?
Make a tape of it.
Well, yeah, but I want to play it now. You see, I'm into instant gratification here. And that's something that, but it's a good suggestion.
Yeah, well, anyway, I just want to say, you hear about that rap concert, right?
Yeah, sure I did.
Yeah, I want to know, like, what's going on with that, man? I mean, these people sold, like, $5,000 worth of tickets, 5,000 tickets for some place that held, like, 2,000.
I'm hoping that the city's investigation of that is done quickly so we know exactly what happened, but that kind of thing should not be tolerated.
Yeah,
it was very definitely, and you know, even Al Sharpton recognizes it this time, so you know it's got to be something serious.
Yeah, well, I heard Al Sharpton's going after some black cop for beating up a black guy. And I was, like, surprised. That's the first time he said anything about a black person.
Well, you know, if he's actually standing up for justice and not looking at people's color, then that's what we all should be doing. Listen, I got to go to another call. Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
I was wondering, like, I don't know. A lot of times that I've called, I haven't, I mean, not that I've called, but I've listened to your show. I haven't heard, like, females called or anything. Most
yeah, I've noticed that, too. And here we've had two of them in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I was just wondering because I've listened a few times and it's usually guys that call. So what's your opinion on that? Like, how come girls haven't really called their, like, show?
Well, I think it's a physical thing. I think guys can dial touch-tone phones faster. I mean, you know, I just believe that that's something that's, you know, inherent in evolution. But there's ways around that because you can get a phone that has a redial button.
Right.
And then you just have to hit one button and you're as fast as everybody else.
But faster. Just busy, so haven't gotten through, but now I finally have.
Maybe females are more sensible as far as, you know, saying things openly out over the airwaves. But we try to get people not to be sensible, to, you know, to speak their minds freely. And, you know, not worry about the consequences so much of what they say.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, so anything on your mind besides that?
Nothing much, really, but about what kind of music and everything.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, like, how to qualify, like, what groups or anything to put in. Like, I don't know, it's just something people, it's hard to qualify it in and everything, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have any opinion on it either.
Do you listen to alternative music?
I can't say that because I wouldn't know what alternative music is, really.
Uh-huh. So you're not aware of a type of music that's called alternative that you listen to?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And how old are you?
I'm 15.
Okay, great. Where are you calling from?
Brookhaven.
Out in the east, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Okay, well, listen, thanks for calling, and do call again in the future because we certainly want more female callers.
All right. That's
all right.
Great. I'll talk to you soon, then.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
And that's going to just about do it for our calls here tonight, folks. Yes, now I've got a raging headache on top of everything else. Nope, no, I'm not blaming the calls for the raging headache. It just is a natural part of whatever it is I'm going through right now. And I've had two fisherman's friends. I'm about to have a third one. And maybe I'll mix that with the Halls. And maybe even I'll go crazy and get some Ludens on the way back. And really have a fun old time tonight. Next week I should be either in a much worse state or a much better shape. You know, you can find out the question. Did Eric get the flu? Or did he avoid it yet again? We'll know in a little bit. Okay, now we're going to, we've taken advice of those people that called up. We've fast-forwarded the CD through the whole song. It's ready in another CD player now. And I sure hope it doesn't skip this time, because if it does, I'll be very upset. But if it does skip again, folks, I'll go out and I'll buy it, and I'll play it next week, I promise. Because great music needs to be heard. And we're the place that plays it. Stay tuned for Paul Weissman, who's got... Is it a hell of a show tonight?
Do
you have a hell of a show planned for tonight?
Oh, it's beyond hell. Whatever goes beyond hell, that's
show. Beyond, that's how I feel right now. Beyond hell. And the song is called Straight to Hell. If I was really clever, I could have really tied it in nicely, but I just think it's a coincidence. Okay, Paul's on next after Straight to Hell by The Clash, the extended version. I'll see you again next week in one form or another. Good night.
You have it, the unscratched or unskipped version of the Clash's Straight to Hell. And it's 2:06 on WUSB 90.1 FM, and my name is Paul Weisman, and I'll be here 2:400 in the same station, and not 4:00, like 4 o'clock p.m. the next day. No, I'm not doing one of those, you know, charity, let's stay up for everything. It's not 2 to 4. So, what I got here, what I got for you, aside from a really cool show, the Beyond Hell show, you know, the hell-raising show, whichever you choose to, you know, attribute it to, is something I didn't get to do. It's sort of a tradition with me since I've been here for a few years. Every New Year's, I will play the saddest song ever written, ever, okay? You may think you know what it is, but just listen to this. It is the saddest song written ever. I always contribute, you know, a few holiday suicides with this song to these statistics. And I didn't get to do it this year because my show sort of fell just before Christmas. Or just after Christmas, actually. So it didn't quite feel right. Well, we're fresh into a new year. So I figured we'll play it a little late, but we'll cause some damage anyhow. Okay, this next song is not indicative of the rest of my show, except in the fact that you never know just what I'm going to play, because usually I don't either. So, if you have any sleeping pills nearby, if you have any sharp objects, move them as far away from you as possible. If you have a friend there to, like, you know, give them earplugs and have them, you know, whisper words of comfort while you listen to this song, because it is indeed the saddest song ever written. And if you want to contribute to my musical selection tonight, you can call 632-6901. I'll be glad to consider the selection. Most likely even play it, but here we go. Here we go. Everyone's ready. Everyone's safely protected against, you know, their inner desires to end their lives with this song. Okay, good. Strap yourselves in.
Behind her in the rose and